Hey, friend, welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. I'm Mike McCurry, your host. Thank you so very much for joining me once again today. We are going to conclude a book version of a phenomenal message that Dr. Paul Levine preached over 60 years ago for the first time. I'm sharing with you the booklet, the very first book of the very first edition of this message in print form. It's titled One Step at a Time. He gave this book to his lovely wife, Dr. Paul did, on June 24th, 1976. He wrote a little note here. It says, "To my honey, the first copy of this book, with all my love," and signed it Hubby. And he was the author of this book, the founder of our ministry, the first host of Bible Tract Echoes, Dr. Paul Levine. We have a lot to cover today as we conclude this message one step at a time. Listen in. He says this about the unequal yoke. You realize he's talking to teenagers, but everything he says is biblical and is applicable to you and me. The unequal yoke. Dr. Paul says this, "Young people, are you interested in the will of God? Do you want to do what God wants you to do now? Don't worry about 5 years from now. Where you are 5 years from now, in jail or in hell, in heaven, pastoring a church, running a camp, traveling around in evangelistic work, that might depend on what you do here right now. Oh, the sad stories that could be told of those who didn't want to obey God and take that next step. A pastor friend told me about a 17-year-old girl from his church who was keeping steady company with a young man of a false religion. When he talked to her, she said, 'Pastor, I'm so glad you love us young people. I'm grateful you care about us, and I'm so grateful that we have a pastor who is concerned about the young people enough to warn us, talk to us about our sins and our problems. I know I shouldn't be dating this unsaved boy.' Is that what she said? Not on your life." Dr. Paul says she just bristled like a fuller brush and said, "Well, you don't need to think we're going to get married or anything like that." Well, the pastor knew what might happen. If you keep steady company with somebody, the chances are you'll fall in love. And if you really fall in love with someone, you won't pay much attention to what God says or your parents say or what your pastor says. You'll go ahead and marry, even though you know God says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" If God forbids you to marry an unsaved person, you ought to have sense enough not to date one. Since an unsaved is not good enough for a mate, he or she is not good for a date either. You say, "Well, we love each other and it'll all work out." Well, that girl married that boy, and it didn't work out. To marry him, she had to renounce everything she had been taught all her life, which she knew was doctrinally right. She knew the truth, but she renounced it all and took a course of studying what she knew was false doctrine in order to marry that young man. Her dad refused to walk down the aisle and give her away in marriage. She disobeyed God and married that unsaved boy. You had better go by the lamp on your feet. Take a look at what the light is showing you. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That means break that engagement to that unsaved boy or girl. You had better take that step, young people, or you'll take a lot of other steps that will bring you a lot of sorrow. You'd be wise, young person, if you would get down on your knees and humbly pray, "Lord, don't ever let me get involved with someone that I should not marry." Well, she married that boy, and before she was 20 years old, she was back home with her parents with a broken heart, wrecked life, broken marriage, and tears and unhappiness. You say, "Do you think God is interested in whom I marry?" Of course God is interested in whom you marry, but so is the devil. If the devil can't ruin you any other way, he'll try to ruin you by getting you to marry the wrong person. Many a young person has gotten saved, baptized, joined the right church, and even gone to the right school, then backslid and married the wrong boy or girl, wrecked their lives, destroyed their happiness, and God had to throw them on the trash pile because he couldn't use them in his service. Next to being saved and giving your life to God, your marriage is the most important decision of your whole life. Yes, God is vitally concerned about whom you marry. Your dad is, isn't he? If you have a good dad, doesn't he care who you marry? Of course he does. Let's imagine that Brother Bill Renstrom's, he was a gentleman there at Bill Rice Ranch, Paul Levine's referring to. Imagine his daughter, Lorraine, comes in some night and says, "Daddy, I want you to meet my fiance. She has a nice sparkler on her finger. She's engaged." So Bill says, "Where is he? He's out there in the car. Well, bring him in here. I want to meet him. I want to see him." So guess what she drags in? Guy with long dangly hair, looks like a mop, comes in and greets Dr. Billy and Ruby with a, "Hey, what's up, man? Cool, man, cool." How do you suppose Dr. Renstrom would feel about that? He loves Lorraine. She's his daughter. He doesn't want her life wrecked by marrying some joker who looks like a scarecrow. Your father in heaven has a big stake in you, young people. He doesn't want you to wreck the whole future that he has for you just by fooling around marrying that wrong boy or girl. Your marriage will either make or break you. Many a man has amounted to more for God because of the spiritual, godly, praying wife God gave him. Many a man did less for God because he was married to a millstone around his neck. God not only is interested in whom you marry, he knows who is best for you. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. And not only that, God wants you to have the one who is best for you. God loves you. He wants the very best for you. The best church, best job, best school, best service, and the best mate. God is not glorified in your being miserable. He is glorified in your joy. He wants you to be happy. Don't you want the girl or boy who will make you the best wife or husband? Of course you do. Then obey God step by step, and he will bring you to each other. Don't rush it. Don't go chasing around in the woods or out in the desert in the dark trying to locate a husband or wife. You can't keep your mind on your work or your studies. No telling what you'll get to that way. A farmhand said to his boss one day, "I want to borrow your lantern." "Why?" "I'm going to see my girl." "You don't need a lantern. I never took a light when I courted my wife," the old farmer said. "Yes, and look what you got." "Go by the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Follow the word of God, young people. You'll be glad you did. What a wonderful pathway it will be. Right church, right job, right school, right mate, right calling. You talk about real happiness, this is it. David met Bathsheba when he was out of the will of God. He sinned with her. They married, and David paid for it dearly. One of his sons raped his half-sister. Her brother murdered him. Another son, Absalom, rebelled against David and tried to take the kingdom. David wept, grieved, fled, and sorrowed all the rest of his life because he married the wrong woman. He met her when he was not walking in the light of God's word. David was out of step when he met Bathsheba. Stay in step with God. God is interested in every step. The church you attend, the job you take, where you go to college, the way you behave in school, your attitude at home, the way you keep your room clean, the way you dress. He's interested in every step. He says, "I'll guide you with my counsel. I'll guide you all of your life, and someday I'll take you to heaven." You can't beat that. That is the best deal that this old world has ever heard about. A young friend of mine who had graduated from Bible College was traveling through Iowa. He stopped a fellowship with us a few days during a series of meetings. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Pakistan." I said, "To Pakistan?" "That's right," he answered. I said, "Are you married?" "Nope." Kiddingly, I said, do you have a girl?" He said, "Nope. You're not engaged." "Nope." Well, I said, "Don't you think, Tom, that before you go over there to Pakistan, where there aren't any girls that you should marry that are saved, that you ought to at least get a girl and get on friendly terms with her and maybe even get married so she can go over to Pakistan with you?" I was only kidding, but I like what he said, young people. All he said was, "I'm going to Pakistan." I knew what he meant. He meant, I've got my eye on that goal over there. I know where God wants me to go. Now, he's saying, everybody, please get out of my way because I'm going to Pakistan. I'm not going to let a good job or a fat salary keep me from going to Pakistan. I'm not going to let some pretty doll or sentimental loved one get in my way or get me sidetracked from the will of God. I know where God wants me, and I'm going to Pakistan. Don't you appreciate that spirit? A few months later, I got a letter from Tom in Pakistan. His letter began like this: "Dear Paul," and then in big letters printed across the top of the letter, "I found her." Who did he find? He found the girl he married. Where was she? Where there are no girls to marry that aren't Muslim. In Pakistan. The Lord brought her over there from Philadelphia. I saw Tom a few years later in Pennsylvania. There was the girl that God had given him to be his wife. And he found her by going step by step in the will of God all the way to Pakistan. And there she was. God had her over there already. And everything that God has for you is found in step-by-step obedience to him. Are you going to obey God? I beg of you to do so for your own good. Ask Tom if he's glad he went to Pakistan. Ask his wife if she is glad she went to Pakistan. What if she hadn't been there when he got there? Or what if he hadn't come when she was there? What if one of them had gotten in a big hurry and married at 18? Now, what is your next step? God isn't going to give you more light until you obey the light you have now. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light that shows you the light for the next step. What's your next step? To accept Christ and be saved. Take that step right now. What's the next step? Get baptized. Then join the right church. Maybe your next step is to obey Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Maybe your next step is to surrender, to go to a good Bible college, or answering the call to preach, or to be a missionary. Instead of fighting God about your next step and standing on one leg and arguing with God about it, will you say, Lord, I'll take that next step. Do it now. My friends, God has good things for you. Do you want the best God has for you? All you have to do is to say yes to His will. You say, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do in the future. But you understand what you're supposed to do now. Obey God. Do what He wants you to do. Obey Him one step at a time and you'll know what you're supposed to do in the future. Will you step off the broad way that leads to hell? Will you receive the Lord Jesus right now? That's the first step. You can't take any more steps in God's plan for your life until you take the first one. Step over on the narrow pathway of the Christian life. There's just a few of us over here, but we're going the right direction and heaven waits for us at the end of the journey. Then walk with Him in the light of His word, step by step. He'll walk with you. You'll enjoy God's best for you. You'll be glad here in this life that you obeyed God, and you'll be glad forever in heaven. This has been a reading, I guess, of One Step at a Time by Dr. Paul Levine. I look forward to maybe one day we'll find a recording of this message and you can hear the man himself preach it to you. You can only imagine how powerfully that must have been used by God in the lives of so many teenagers across America that came to the ranch all those years ago. 40 years, he was there every day of every week of every year preaching to young people. What a legacy to live up to. Got big shoes to fill. Pray for us at BTI, at Bible Tracks Incorporated, that we will stay with our eyes on the prize, like that young man going to Pakistan, and that we would just go one step at a time, and we know God will lead us. He'll do the same for you. Friend, thank you so very much for listening in today. My prayer, as always, is that you have a great day for His glory. We'll plan on talking to you soon. Join us next week. Might have a fun surprise for you if you tune in. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracks Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracks, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracks Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.